Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
101.9. This is Chai FM on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Shemini, Isru Chag, Chag HaPesach. I can't actually believe we've just gotten through Pesach, through all the work, through all the preparation, through all the things that had to be done during and on Pesach, and now it's actually past. It's actually history. Well, anyway, a very, very warm welcome to all of our radio family. My name is Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, and I'm your host every Friday afternoon on this beautiful, beautiful opportunity to share some Torah, to share some time together. I hope all of you had an absolutely wonderful Chag HaPesach, and that you inspired and taking something with you so that we are better, more trusting, more connected people now than we were before Chag HaPesach began. The program, as always, is sponsored as a Refuah Shleima for some of the Cholim, those we know about, those we don't know about, but particularly Yosef Gershon ben Taiba, Hillel Eliezer ben Pesach Frieda, Aaron Gainer ben Avram, David Shmuel ben Devora, Tzivia bas Etka, Shaina Rochel bas Lea, Shulamis Lea bas Osna, Zlata bas Masha, B'seich Shor Choyle Yisrael, amongst all the many, many thousands of Yidden anywhere in the world that might need a little bit of a divine bracha, a special intervention by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. May they all be zeiche through the Torah we learned together, through the time we spent together, just before the onset of Shabbos Kodesh. It should be a skula and a refuah shleima for all of them. So we have this week Parshas Shemini, and of course one of the main topics of the parsha is, of course, the inauguration of the Mishkan as it was. It came live and started operating for the first time, and of course the terrible tragedy that marred that very, very special day, the death of Nadav and Avihu. Vatetze esh milifnei Hashem, a fire came out from before Hashem. And it says vayamusu lefnei Hashem, and they died, vatoichasam, it consumed them, vayamusu lefnei Hashem, and they died before Hashem. Vayomer Moshe el Aaron, Moshe said to Aaron, hu asher dibra Hashem leimor, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me, saying, bikroivai ekodesh, amongst those who are closest to me, I'm going to be sanctified. And Rashi says there, amar Moshe el Aaron, Moshe says to Aaron, Aaronochi, Aaron, my brother, your day Isi, I knew she is Skadesh Habayis Bim Yuadov Shalmakam. I knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to sanctify this house with the death of someone that was very, very close to him. Vayisi Sabar Obiya Bukha. I thought it would be either myself or yourself. Now I see that Nadav and Avihu, your sons, Aaron, your sons, are even greater than you and I. These words of Rashi concerning the greatness of Nadav and Avihu, the incredibly exalted position they held, I need to make us sort of think about them and what they did. Let's just bring a few sources where we're told a little bit about Nadav and Avihu. Number one, the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Nun Beis 52 says, the Moshe and Aaron were walking together on the road, and Nadav and Avihu were walking behind them, and all of Yisrael was walking behind them. Says Nadav to Avihu, Emosa yomusu shnei zikenim halalu, when are these two old men going to die? Va'ani v'ata nanhiges hador, and you and I will be able to lead the generation together. Now, we're talking about the greatest of the great, as Rashi explains. Surely, we cannot take Nadav and Avihu's words as simply as they're said. Surely, they have no desire for honor and for leadership, and to even say such a thing that would come out of their mouth is very, very difficult to understand. There must be something very, very deep involved here. We're going to explore this after the break. This is 101.9 Chai FM. The program is Soul to Soul. We'll be back in a moment with much, much more.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
101.9 Chai FM. This is Soul to Soul. Back on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Parshas Shemini. Tov Shin Pei Vav. Just hours almost after the end of Chag HaPesach. And we are discussing, we're beginning just to open up a little bit of discussion about the sons of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, who tragically passed away on the great day of the inauguration of the Mishkan. And we're trying to find out a little bit about them. So we just brought one source, when the Gemara says that they seem, it's the way the words are presented, it sounds like they were walking behind Moshe and Aaron, waiting for them to die so that they could take over. And this, of course, seems impossible to understand on a simplistic level, and we need to go deeper. Another source is a Medrash that says, Rav Moni Deshav, and Rav Yeshua Desichnin, and Rav Yochanan, the name Rav Levi, all said together, there were four things that brought about the death of the sons of Aaron. Number one, they had drunk wine. They had imbibed wine before they entered into the holy sanctuary, where they brought this so-called holy foreign fire that God killed them. Number two, Vayidei Shoyu Mechusrei Begadim. They weren't properly attired. They weren't wearing the clothing that a Kohen needs to wear when he goes in to serve inside the Mishkan. They prescribed garments that a Kohen has to wear. 4 for a regular Kohen, 8 for a Kohen Gadol. And they were missing one of those garments. Which one? They were missing the Me'il, the long coat with bells and pomegranates on the bottom. Number three, they entered the tabernacle without washing their hands and their feet, which is obligatory before entering the sanctuary. And number four, because of the fact that they never got married. Now, here also, it's absolutely impossible to understand the actions of Nadav and Avihu as they are seem to be presented on a basic level. Their greatness, right, which we're saying, Rashi said, is even greater than Moshe and Aaron, would not make it possible that these kind of things should happen by mistake. And certainly, they would never do such things on purpose. Now, although this seems to be quite ambiguous, what this Medrash says, elsewhere, we find a little bit more clarity. There's in the Yerushalmi Talmud in Rosh Hashanah, it says that there's the information that helps to clarify these words of Chazal. The Gemara brings there that there was a very, very common statement that was constantly said by the great sage Rav. And he said, this world is very different than the world to come. In this world, there's eating and drinking. In the world to come, there's no eating, there's no drinking, there's no reproduction, there's no business, there's no jealousy, there's no hatred, there's no competition. Only what you find is the great righteous people are sitting with their crowns on their heads, and they're enjoying and benefiting from the radiance of God's presence. as the Pasuk in Shemot Chaf Dalet says, Vel atzile b'nei Yisrael lo yisholach yadai. To the greatest ones of the Jewish nation, Hashem did not stretch forth his hand. Vayechazu es ha'alakim, they saw Hashem, vayechlu vayishtu. And they ate and they drank. And Rashi there says, what does it mean? They ate and they drank, that they felt satisfied, they felt content from seeing the Shekhinah as if they had eaten and drunk. Now, the Maharsha there adds on and he says, I found one of the great sages who wrote about this based on a Medrash, that in the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to place a crown on the head of every tzaddik, as it says, "Bayomahu yeh Hashem la'teret tzvi." On that day, Hashem is going to make these wonderful, wonderful crowns for all of the great sages. Now, this is an amazing, amazing, amazing level where these leaders of the Jewish nation reached after the giving of the Torah. Because this is actually the actual level of the most sublime place that a human being could get to. That they were human beings, they were Jews in and they actually were as if they were in the world to come. On such a level, there's no physicality at all. Right? And that nothing that we can recognize in this world. And even according to those that say that in the future, the body and the soul will once again be reunited, even in Olam Haba, nevertheless, the body is not going to have any sort of physical connotations, because the very, very essence of a person and his upkeep and his sustenance will be completely, completely spiritual. A person is not going to need physical food in order to be maintained. And that was the level of Atzilei B'nei Yisrael. That was the level that these great people reached. And who were these great people? So in the explanation of Rav Yonasan ben Uzziel, he explains that these great people who reached this level were no other than Nadav and Avihu. If so, we've now opened in front of ourselves some gates of tremendous, tremendous understanding to try to understand a little bit the words of the Chazal at Rashi said these were the greatest, greatest people. They virtually were on this earth, but living in a world completely, completely beyond anything we can begin to fathom. Now, the true level of greatness of Nadav and Avihu, we find in another beautiful statement of Rav. In other words, through words of Rav that we brought above, we were able to understand that Nadav and Avihu, while they were still in this world, in their physical bodies, so they reached such a level of connection and such a fire of love to Hashem, that they were on a level really where the body and the soul, they were both equal and they were both completely, completely pure. They reached from such a level that no other man before them ever reached. They actually reached a level of the world perfect situation that's going to exist in the future times. And they actually attained it in this world when they were still wrapped in their physical body. And that's what it says. Moshe says to Aaron, now I see that they are even greater than me and you. Because Moshe and Aaron also, right? They went up three times. Moshe went three times to heaven. And he never didn't eat and he didn't drink for 40 days and 40 nights there. But nevertheless, he wasn't able to attain the level of Nadav and Avihu while he was on this earth. So now, it seems so obvious that Nadav and Avihu when Nadav was speaking to Avihu and talking about we want to be leaders, we can't even begin to imagine that he was talking about his own personal honor, but obviously he was talking about something very godly and very, very spiritual. In other words, the very high level that they were on caused them to have a desire that they wanted to lead the nation and to elevate it. In other words, to bring the whole nation already now, while they were still in this world, to be to the ultimate that a physical person can reach. To reach such a connection, such a love, an eternal love, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to bring the entire world to its absolute perfection, to the final state that it needs to get to. In other words, to bring the people straight away to the highest, highest level that they themselves were on. Amazing, amazing what they wanted to achieve. We're going to take a break and come back and put this all together. This is 101.9 Chai FM. The program is Soul to Soul. And we'll be back in a moment.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
101.9 Chai FM. This is Soul to Soul. Back on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Parshas Shemini. Just literally less than an hour, or maybe just more, from the beginning of another beautiful, beautiful Shabbos coming right on the heels of Chag HaPesach that just so suddenly left us and we're so bereft at the end of a Chag. But we're talking about some of the greatest human beings ever to exist. We're talking about Nadav and Avihu, who Moshe Rabbeinu said to his brother Aaron, they are greater than us. They were literally living on this earth, but in the guise of the most perfect, the most spiritual of people. And as we just said, their desire was to raise the entire nation to this incredibly sublime level. By the way, my name is Rabbi Moshe Schnurman. We are learning together the Parsha of the week. Moshe and Aaron, who were the current leaders of the Jewish nation, so obviously they were leading the nation in a way that was appropriate for people who live in this world. They led the nation to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in the realm using the dictates of this world, within the physical world. Nadav and Avihu saw this kind of leadership as, unfortunately, as tedious and completely unsatisfying. They were hoping that to please God, that over the next number of years, that the nation would go through, that when they needed to purify themselves, right, through going to Galut, to exile, as an atonement for the sins that were created because of the fact that they were living in a physical world, they wanted to save all this. Their desire was to elevate the nation completely above any concerns and any interests in physicality, and therefore to shorten the way, to provide a real shortcut that would bring the world to its absolute perfection. No jealousy, no hatred, no competition. That defines their absolute desire of Nadav and Avihu, that they were so completely, totally holy and dedicated to Hashem. Their very, very essence was beyond this world, beyond Olam Haba in its full guise. So in other words, and that's what Rav said. What did Rav say about Olam Haba? That there's no jealousy, no hatred, no competition. That tzaddikim are sitting with the crowns on their heads and they're enjoying the radiance of the Shekhinah. It comes out that was the spiritual level of Nadav and Avihu right now, and that was the level they wanted to bring every single Jew to as quickly as possible. Right? And that was their goal. That was their they wanted to fast track it, as they say, and make it happen as quickly as possible to bring the whole world to a total existence of spirituality, which would bring the world to its perfect state. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't interested in this type of behavior. You see, the leadership of Moshe and Aaron, even though they never reached the level of Nadav and Avihu, but that is the appropriate leadership for the Jewish nation. And yes, it's a longer, much more tedious, much more cumbersome, much more fraught with danger and calamity and tragedy, but that's the way that, together with all the pain and all the suffering, that is the way that actually brings us also. It takes longer, it's much, much more taxing, but it also brings us to the full completion that we need to attain. Now, these words of Rav will also help us then to understand what another thing that was said in the Medrash, that Nadav and Avihu never got married and they never had children. Rav explained to us that in the world to come, Olam Haba, there's no reproduction, right? In a world that's perfect, there's no need to have children, as there is in this world, because in this world we need it as a method to help ourselves reach perfection and to have a continuity. Nadav and Avihu, on their very, very high level, that they were already living a world of Olam Haba, even when they were still in this world. So they were working on this level. They were in Olam Haba, and therefore they didn't see any need at all, any necessity to get married, and they thought they were exempt from having children, because children means that there's going to be death in the world, and I need a continuity in the world to come. That we are eternal, and therefore we're never going to die. We don't need children. We just need to work and develop ourselves, and that's what they thought. What was the reality? And now we can also understand what it was that why they drank wine, right? Well, one of the things that they were accused of doing was walking into the Mishkan, having imbibed liquor, wine. Now, in the future times, says the Chazal, it's Gemara, in Brachos on page Lamed Dalit, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to feed the tzaddikim, give the drink to the tzaddikim, what's called Yayin HaMeshumar Ba'anavav Misheshes Yimei Bereshis, wine that has been preserved in its grapes all the way dating back to the 6 days of creation. What's the power of this wine? How is it different from any other wine? We know that it is forbidden for any Kohen to enter the tabernacle or the Beit HaMikdash once they've drunk wine. The reason for that is because yes, wine is a very wonderful thing. It can really bring a person to a state of mind. But there's also some negativity. You see, the grapes contain a kind of a yeast, which is what actually arouses the fermentation process, which lasts for a period of 40 days. And this, it's garbage. This negative element of the grapes, that is what actually strongly influences a person who drinks too much and can confuse or sort of inebriate the intellect of someone who drinks too much. This reality we saw already by Noach, And as we see that wine can bring someone, we know that Lot became drunk, and that brought about his tremendous, tremendous degradation. Therefore, it's absolutely inappropriate that Kohanim, who are about to serve in front of Hashem, that they should come to their service without a clear, clear mind. Such an avodah, such a service of Hashem, is not possible that such a thing could give pleasure to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the contrary, it's degrading and embarrassing to have service that's done without a clear, focused mind. And even therefore, a great sage who's drunk even one revius of wine is not allowed to paskin, is not allowed to adjudicate any kind of cases, because we're worried that maybe the wine has had a little bit of an influence, a little bit of effect on the full clarity of his thought, which is needed for a judge to be able to properly decide a case. However, wine that has been preserved in its grapes dating all the way back to the 6 days of creation is completely different. About this wine, it says, Nichnas Yayin Yotza Soid. When the wine comes in, the secrets come out. That is this Yayin HaMashuma, this guarded wine, a wine that is completely, completely free of any sort of inferior material. Not only does it not negatively affect the intellect of the person, on the contrary, it brings a person to incredibly, incredibly spiritual high levels, and to an additional level of das, and therefore he's able to expound secrets of the Torah. In the world to come, we learn from Rav, there's no eating and there's no drinking because there's no physicality, and therefore you don't need to eat or drink, and you don't need anything that's going to sort of weigh down on the neshama and bring a person, God forbid, to sin. But there is another type of eating and drinking, which is something that is, in essence, Kodesh Lashem, completely sanctified to Hashem. In other words, by drinking the wine, the Yayin HaMeshumer, right, which is, you drink the wine that's in this world, so then the person who drinks it, on the contrary, loses his clarity. And then he could reveal all type of things that he doesn't want anyone else to know, which is not the case. When you're drinking the Yayin HaMeshumer, then on the contrary, the drinking of this wine purifies him, and it causes for that person to understand even more deeply secrets and intricacies of our holy Torah. And this was the drinking out of Nadav Navio. That was, again, literally an Olam Haba type of drinking. Nadav Navio thought that since their bodies were so pure until they reached, even in this world, to an essence of a body as it's going to be in Olam Haba, therefore, as far as they was concerned, any wine that would go into their bodies, even if it was regular wine mixed with the yeast of this world, in their bodies, this wine would completely, completely purify their essence and take on a whole new existence. And it would become like the Yayin HaMeshumer dating all the way back to the 6 days of creation, which is completely spiritual. Because according to their understanding, the Torah, which forbade a Kohen to drink before he did any kind of avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, that's only referring to regular wine. And therefore, for other people, including their own father, Aaron, if they would drink this wine, then that would in fact be a degradation of the work they were doing, because their bodies were not purified to the level that theirs was. And they were not able, human beings are not able to turn the wine that comes into it into a whole new spiritual existence. But they felt their body, the bodies of Nadav and Avihu, that Rav testified upon, that they were on a level of the next world where there's no physical drinking. According to their understanding, any wine that would enter their body would absolutely change its essence into this yain that's been preserved from the 6 days of creation, which doesn't invalidate a kohen service, but on the contrary, it adds even more kedusha to their holiness, because its very, very essence is spirituality, is ruchnis. Now, basically, though, they made a mistake, because living and being in this world, it's not possible that you could have a situation of wine without the impurities and the yeast. In other words, there's physicality and spirituality that are mixed, that are both sort of intermingle one with the other, but the cheshbon, the analysis of Nadav and Avihu as far as this was concerned, was considered for them to be a sin. Because in this world, there's absolutely no possibility that a kohen should drink wine and come in to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not at all possible. We don't care who you are. Based on what we're saying, we can even understand what it means that they were not dressed properly. They were lacking one of the begodim, one of the garments of the kohen. They didn't have their me'il. We can understand that also. Now, we know that our garments are there to provide us with honor and glory. But again, that's only because we live in a world where our bodies are crude physical things. Because Adam and Chava, before they did the sin, when they were in the highest possible level you could also imagine, they didn't need a clothing to cover their bodies. Right? By them also, the body and the soul were one and the same. They were both Kodesh Lashem, completely, completely pure, free from any kind of imperfection and any kind of zuama, any kind of filth. Right? The embarrassment of a person being unclad only came after the sin. Then the body became something that one should be embarrassed about, because through their sin, so then the filth, what's called the zuama, of a sin had entered their body, and therefore from then on they needed to wear clothes. Nadav and Avihu, who purified their body to such an extent, and they actually returned themselves to this level of Adam and Chava before the sin, so they saw their bodies as also being completely, completely clean from any imperfections. In such a situation, they don't need all the begodim of covered with sephoris. Their pure, pure bodies were in itself honor and glory to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the highest level that a person could even achieve. And therefore, even though we cannot even begin to conceptualize, we cannot certainly reach even an understanding of the high level of Nodom and Avihu. And in spite of the fact that everything we've spoken about is completely, completely beyond our true understanding, nevertheless, together with this, we merited to sort of open up a little and shed a little bit of light on their world and our world based on this statement of Rav. And to see that it's Chazal, we're not speaking negatively about Nadav and Avihu. On the contrary, we're talking about the incredible level that they reached. At the end of the day, after all is said and done, no matter how high a level they actually reached, the conclusion that we have to get from this is that certainly that for people on our level, we are not allowed to change anything in any situation, even a bit from what the Torah told us to do. And that's what those are the words the Torah uses. Asher loy tziva oisam. A person, of course, wants to become holy. A person wants to become closer to God. And there's nothing wrong with that. And the Torah prescribes many, many roads, many, many things we can do. There's a whole battery of 613 mitzvahs. Each one of them brings us closer to God. But the Torah has provided the recipe. And for a person to think of any alternative method, no matter how spiritual it might be, no matter how well-motivated it might be, it's Hashem loy tziva sam. Hashem did not come on him to do it, and therefore vateitza ish. It runs foul of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants human beings. Hashem wants us to strive for perfection. Hashem wants to do the best we can, but within the parameters, within the commands, within the limits of what the Torah says. This is 101.9 Chai FM. The program is Soul to Soul. My name is Rav Moshe Schnurb. We'll be back in a moment with our Hilchos Shabbos slot.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
101.9 Chai FM. This is Soul to Soul. Back on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh Pasha Shemini Tov Shin Pei Vav. Yisru Chag Chag HaPesach. I'll bet you can't believe like I did that it's already over. We put so much effort into preparing, so much time, so much planning, so much money. And yes, we enjoyed it. And now after 8 days, it's all gone. Very, very sad a little bit, but Baruch Hashem, there's so many other things to look forward to on a daily, on a weekly basis in our lives that we carry on. And there's another mitzvah, there's another davening, there's another bit of Torah to learn. We never, never are bereft without what to do, without ways of expressing our spirituality. Now, one of the things you have to do, as you always do now, is to let everyone know the important times for this coming Shabbos. So the earliest time to light your Shabbos candles is coming up literally within half an hour at 4:44. 4:44 is already the earliest time you can light your Shabbos candles. It's soon, but still, it's a challenge. It's something that's certainly worth striving for. We want to get Shabbos on in our homes, in our lives, ASAP. And if you can manage to get yourself and your food and your house and the kids all ready by then, what a win. What an absolute first prize that is to begin Shabbos as early as one possibly can. And if you miss by a few minutes, that's also great. Even half an hour is perfect. Right? The latest time for benching licht today is at 5:39. 5:39 is the absolute latest time for us to light our Shabbos candles. It means by then everything has to be done. The car has to be put away. Everything has to be on the heater. That's it. Shabbos has started. Even though people argue, yes, there is another 18 minutes until sunset. But as we always say, that time is absolutely emergency time. Time for someone who, God forbid, if you wouldn't have those 18 minutes, might actually come to break Shabbos. So in those situations, we are lenient. But really, we have to be so, so careful. 5:39 is the latest time. Therefore, Shkia is at 5:57, 3 minutes before 6. And therefore, if you want to make sure that it's properly night when you daven Ma'ariv and when you count the Omer, so all you have to do is wait until 6:15. 6:15 is already night, according to most opinions. And therefore, you can repeat your Kri Shema at that point. If you have unless you've already saying it for the first time, then you won't have to repeat it. And obviously, we come home and we'll actually have some challah, if you can manage the queues to get, or of course, if you're lucky enough to go, just get some flour and make your own challah. Anyway, it's a much bigger mitzvah to make your own challah, and it's much, much more geschmack than anything you buy in a shop. And that's without any intending to insult any of the franchises that sell the most beautiful, beautiful challahs, but still homemade beats it all. Tomorrow, of course, is Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Shemini, which, as we said, has as its first part the dedication of the Mishkan, actual first day that it ran live, and we spoke about Nadav and Aviyu, and the second half of the parsha, which of course talks about the kosher animals and birds and fish and all those kind of things. The Haftarah is a very, very interesting Haftarah from the book of Shmuel about David HaMelech. Fascinating story, worth learning and trying to understand a bit of what is going on there. It also, surprising enough, it's already Shabbos Mevorachim. Usually the Shabbos after Pesach is. Please God, Rosh Chodesh is going to be next Friday. And Shabbos, we have a Shabbos Rosh Chodesh next week, and therefore we already say Shabbos Mevorachim. Therefore, whatever it is that your shul does in honor of Shabbos Mevorachim, get involved. If it's a shir, if it's a chant, whatever it might be, yeah, make it part of your life. You become part of your shul's life. Very, very important thing to do. Also to note, this week we start saying Pirkei Avot. As we go into the winter, in the northern hemisphere, as we go into the summer. And of course, because of the first week, we will say Perek Aleph, first Perek of Pirkei Avos, this week at Mincha time. Even though we do say Birkat HaChodesh, we will say Avorachamim, because as we do on virtually all the Shabbatot between Pesach and Shavuot, because of the various tragedies that occurred during that time. Shabbos Kodesh ends tomorrow night. Get ready for it. 6:27. 6:27 already is the end of Shabbos. I believe within another month, we're going to be at our earliest times of Shabbos, so shortly after 5, and Shabbos ending shortly before 6. It comes very, 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 very quickly. And of course, we're going to go into a full working week this week, and with Rosh Chodesh then on Friday, as the week goes to the weekend. We're talking about the malachas of writing and erasing and dying. So let's talk about four malachas that are very, very important within that sort of genre of malacha. There's sort of four malachas that relate to preparing animal skins for writing. There's mafshit, ma'abed, right, memachek, and mesaret, and we'll explain all these terms below. When parchment was sort of the standard writing surface, So everyday things were written on it also. Nowadays, however, obviously, only Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzot are written on parchment. And additionally, nowadays, so animal skins are used to make leather clothing and shoes and satchels and upholstery. Now, in the Mishkan, skins were prepared to be used as curtains as well also. Now, Mesaret was performed not only on skins, but also on wood as well, to sort of designate the place on the board where they were going to write. So let's go to it. So mafshit. Mafshit refers to removing the skin from an animal, skinning an animal that was slaughtered. And this skin has two layers. The outer layer, or what we call klaf, is the material upon which Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos are written. The inner layer, or what we call dochstostos, right, may only be used for mezuzos. One who separates the two layers transgresses a tolda of the malacha of mafshit. Although one may not remove an animal's skin, one may skin a cooked chicken, because the prohibition of mafshit does not apply to edible meat, only sort of to live meat that was just killed and not cooked yet. Me'abed refers to placing the skin in sort of salt, lime, or other substances that draw out the skin's juice and acids. This allows the skin to last for hundreds of years. Any action that prepares skins for use is included in this malacha. Therefore, one may not stomp on skins in order to harden them, or use one's hands to soften them, or spread oil on them to make them soft and pliable. And we explained actually above the laws of Ma'abed as they were connected to food. Okay, we're going to stop here with a short break, and we'll come back with our last few points. This is 101.9 Chai FM. The program is Soul to Soul. My name is Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, and this is the greatest Jewish radio station in all of Africa.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
101.9 Chai FM. This is Soul to Soul, back on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh Pasha Shemini Tov Shin Pei Vav Isru Chag Pesach. We are talking about the melachas of preparing things for praying, skins for writing on them. So we were up to the melacha of memachik, which refers to smoothing the skins by removing hairs and any other sort of irregularities. This melacha also includes smoothing any rough surface, such as wood or stone, by means of sandpaper or a file, says the Gemara. It's also forbidden to sort of scour silver items with a material that smooths their surface. Right? One may not scour a metal with steel wool or sharpen knives, says the Mishnah Berurah, on Shabbos either. The melacha of memachik has a tolda called memareach, which refers both to spreading a substance evenly upon an object and to spreading a substance on an object in order to smooth out the object. Therefore, one who spreads ointment on a wound or something, so that he transgresses Torah law. It's also forbidden to spread lotions and creams on one's body, as we explained also before. Similarly, one may not polish shoes by spreading cream on them. Even without a cream, one may not sort of rub leather shoes in order to shine them. As we explained also, according to most poskim, the prohibition of memachik does not apply to foods. You can spread cheese or on your bread on Shabbos. That's not a problem at all. And of course, misaret refers to sort of scoring a line to facilitate writing in a straight line. This melacha also includes drawing a straight line on leather, wood, or stone in order to mark where to cut those materials. However, one may use a knife to draw lines on a cake or to score an orange to help one cut with precision. Since the prohibition of machik does not apply to food, as we just said above, so then misaret also doesn't apply to food either. Whoops, that's about all the time we have. Just a moment to thank you all for being with us and wish you, as Shabbos is coming upon us very quickly, all a beautiful, beautiful Shabbat Shalom, a Shabbos of Menucha, of Kedusha. Thank you so much for being with us. And to each and every one of our radio family, a warm and beautiful Shabbat Shalom. Good Shabbos.